Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
research writing. Now, what's happened is that I've begun working on this research paper, and as I've done various things, it's ballooned up to 30 pages, and there's sort of following an area, writing it out, getting a bit more to it. Certain things have happened in that I've realised that it's not necessarily a research paper. There's got to be a certain amount of knowledge translation, so I have to actually have lessons and educate people. Then I have got to educate different groups, and I write small stories, like to if the actual device I'm building has got quantum mechanics in it, it's got to go like this. And then I've got, say, children's stories and stuff like that. And as I'm moving forward, I've begun sort of more editing across to refine these sort of nodules in this huge sort of, boa constrictor of a work. And going along there, I've sort of, I don't know exactly how it's happened, I've sort of evolved forward. So look, the overall thing is that I'm, I suppose you could say, abandoned, sort of left on the side of the road, a sort of a burning wreck, it's a left for dead. And I've sort of a bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator. Sort of the eye has, I think when he goes back to the hotel room and peels off his flesh and reveals the robot from underneath. It's sort of a bit shocking. It's no longer shocking for us because it's now a cliched thing. But coming up to do it, to try and work on it. So all these things are coming along, and so I don't quite sort of looking at each sort of discovery area. It's hard to actually see where it all comes from. So in this case, what's happened is I've taken the stuff. I don't quite know why I put it in Word, but I put the stuff in Word. So it was in Google Docs and moved it into Word. Then looking at Word, I had the review section. I just pressed play, sort of speak, or what is it, narrate, or whatever it is, read around, and you can have two Microsoft James and some other female voice. You've got two voices that Microsoft provide, and this is in Microsoft 2016, and it actually read the essay, and reading the essay sort of got me past this barrier which I was working at, which is I think it's probably from the stroke, I don't know where it's from. It's where I write something, it's in my head, and once I've written it down, that's incorrect. So what I'm thinking is something rather, write it down incorrectly, and then when I read the incorrect stuff, I read the what's inside my head, not what's on the page. So having Microsoft James read something, it's allowed me to go through and edit, and so the end result is I'm pumping a lot of this, pushing it out to Michael and various people to look at, and at various stages things have changed, and well, there is a story for why things have changed. But using this, using this, I've then my Michael sent a document, a PDF document, I think it was, PDF document on how to write an essay. Very, very good document on how to write an essay. Several, more. I can tell you, it takes about half an hour, closer on 40 minutes to read through from end to end. And so now if you get it, I've got sort of sections of this stuff, and it's so it's sort of written almost stream of consciousness, but bear in mind the it's sort of come from this brutish thing that no matter what you produce, it's all bad, we're going to stop everything you're going to go across. So there's nothing to lose from just getting up and starting to build circuits, write essays, podcast, you know, you just go across. And so from this sort of mad, incoherent thing of abandonment, which is sort of like being abandoned is a chaotic thing to do, to be abandoned. It's part of being, I don't know, turfed out of your house and the furniture thrown at you and everything bursting in the street and yelled at and stuff like that. You, it's a chaotic thing. Now, the thing is that chaos can be creative, I think. Might be the word here. So, but it's sort of a non-linear thing. So it goes knowledge translation, and then you're teaching kids. So you have to, on two levels, write a story for the kids and also for the teachers to pick up at the higher level. So this, and you've got this stuff where you write things down and it's always wrong and wrong, and you make sort of slow progress, and then suddenly massive progress with Microsoft James. And now someone gives you this essay and you go, oh, what I'll do is I'll get Microsoft James to read it through and put it on my dictaphone, and then for a long walk I will listen to it. And then you're saying, well, what I'm going to have to do is try and podcast it. So you listen to it once, you say, I haven't got it. Then you can just listen to a second time. And I've stopped listening it to a third time. And this is where we are at. I'm just trying to think. It means that besides sort of, if I write something, I can create a podcast of what I've written, which is pretty astonishing stuff. And then there are sort of people's works and stuff, and I can actually just say, look, can I have a pod, you know, produce a podcast of this? And this is really nothing. You just get Microsoft James in the act and produce it, which is sort of a pretty astonishing thing to do. So we've got this up. You can hear this is my riddled memory. Like before all this, I'd be able to tell you the list of the names and the dates and all that type of stuff. I've really forgotten the name of this author, and if you and I'm trying to really think about whether I'll upload the podcast of this particular author, and then I'll sort of organise what I'm doing down the track, and if they get upset, I'll just take it down, whatever it is. So he wrote this thing on essays, and I'll give you the overall story of essays, the structure of it. Now, what's entertaining about it is that he's definitely decided, you know, what's so rich and entertaining about it is it's definitely decided boundaries. And boundaries, if you don't do certain things, you're stupid. And so if you break a rule and you haven't mastered it, you're stupid. If you are not sort of really, if you're bored by what you have to say, it's going to be boring. Look, there's various things, and he's really focused on essays and you know, how to write an essay. And as I go through, I say, there's certain things either side of an essay. So an essay is, he's got his a factual recount, a scholastic one, factual recount and analysis or what other people have done. And there's a structure to it, and the structure to that is really good. But what I sort of realise, oh, this is why I'm having so much fucking difficulty with this. There's two aspects. Like, when you're writing for kids, they are not interested in what other people have said. They're interested in objects which inhabit their world and the ability for the subplots to go. So they listen for the subplots and you put it in. So it's a recipe for absolutely massive creativity. So this type of thing, so there's got to be characters and stuff like that. So when you're writing basically a quasi-fiction, sort of like a mash, like baby food, where the actual advanced facts are there, but you're putting a baby food to sneak it in, like getting it, like feeding your baby whiskey. You know, but you add the strong alcohol in with the mashed apple, and like that, you baby right off. So that's a sort of an overall tactic. Now this is because why is it so hopeless trying to teach a why is quantum mechanics very hard to teach a kid? Well, it wouldn't be, except people have taught them, fill their head full of horrible ideas. So it's sort of like trying to teach people about Africa when you've done several units on the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacy. You know, they're going to come up with funny ideas which you're going to have to put a lot of effort to undo. So it's just easier not to go down that line forward. So that's one aspect. So you've got your essay, which is creative but in a refined way. So creative with a connoisseur of facts. It's not the cook. It's the fine dining, facts, fine dining. Then, so you've got that level, the essay. But then again, I'm sort of looking at the, as I, I'm sort of, the other problem is that I'm, sort of like the Abraham Lincoln trying to write an essay on Abraham Lincoln. And so Abraham Lincoln does three or four activities as a kid. You're wearing top hats and beards and making addresses and whatever he is, did it as a kid. And he's writing an essay on it. And he's, and that reflective, that process of writing an essay as you create sort of gets folded back into the situation. You say, oh, well, look, I'm writing an essay. I think it looks a lot better. Sort of, it's like the essay process is in the middle of the creative process. So the process here is that I write a table of senses. And so I go, well, I just can't have three. I've got to have all the senses. So it goes up, and then you say, oh, well, I may as well have a few more senses on here. So the actual device expands into the maximum possible value from the actual writing of the essay. So the essay is sort of coming across. Now, at some stage, I'm not quite sure how it happened. I followed up this line, the essay line, and this is how it's not sufficient. Look, at a certain point, I have to say the teachers are negligent. Negligent in that, like I'm walking across this fantastic bridge at the moment, in the middle of the night. It's fantastic. This is an unbelievable piece of architecture. Sort of not quite like Notre Dame or something like that, but it's getting up there. Sort of like it's weird and it's dark in the Australian bush. It's just, oh, a toast. But say if you knew people would like to walk on the edge of walls, and in this case this wall's got a 40 meter drop either side of it, and you say, what could I do? You know that in advance. So in this case, what had happened is that there was the silicon crystal, and people have already a belief about crystals. And so if you say these crystals are good, they will automatically say, yes, I know they're good. Their capacity to misunderstand is built in. And so this is the healing power of crystals. And then the healing power of crystals, or silicon, heals by automated electronic defibrillator. And it's got these properties. And as I write those properties, I say, oh, surely I can now change my device to an automated thing that you open up, and if it, you want to, can instruct the students how to do it. Okay, so that's like the essay writing has actually gone into the creativity, and then the issue is, you know, still we've got this problem of the sort of fundamental, massive, unbelievable miscomprehension. It's sort of like, yeah, you know, this essay writer was able to say, well, you can do this, but you would be an idiot. And this is what people are. This is a stupidity that is of epic proportions. Is far more than flat earth. It's far more than it's like a superstition, and it's based on bizarre misinterpretation of a graph, sort of the inability to tell. This is a band diagram. This inability to tell what quantum numbers are, what points are on a quantum diagram, and mistake a point to indicate it with the actual point on the map. So, look, I might draw a house on a map on Google Maps, like a shape of a house, a symbol of a house, and people are confused because they think that symbol is going to be like the house actually there. So this is incredible stupidity. And so a lot of the need for translation is deletion. It's a necessary for translation. This is as I do the essay, is it necessary for deletion? And deletion is something which is not tolerated. Absolutely. It's deletion sort of like, there's a sort of automated deletion that people do in science when they realize that they can't publish anymore, or that the experiment doesn't agree with it. There's this deletion process. But in teaching, deletion is horrible, because, you know, you build your there's a yeah, like your reputation is what you say, and whereas science is your integrity is what you say. So science is one step removed from actually what you say. So science, it's a greatest scientist is not the person who predicts the greatest temperature movement. It's the person who predicts it most wisely. It's a great predictive value. Whereas, so basically, education doesn't have any predictive value. And with no predictive value, there is no actual test of education. It's sort of like insane. There is necessary for this deletion, but it's not going to happen. And so the next version of it is that now the box is coming out, you can have an option. You can have the option for the green light, for a so you can automatically there have different versions of explanation coming out. You can have the rubbish version where there's a red blinking light saying the ballistic electrons, everything like this, this bam 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 like this, and the student will see it, and it's the way forward. Now, or you can have the quantum mechanics thing, which is a beautiful eerie blue light coming out of it. So you can have your LED out there lighting up. And so the box itself can A, teach, and B, guide people. You have an option that you can, and this sort of takes the psychology away. Now, this overall thing here is that the essay writing process is sort of half and half on the actual building of the block of the device. So it's a sort of half and half now. So as well as the discovering of Microsoft James, the basic going through a dark maze of realizing you can't go down this battery, you have to go you have to build it this way, it's going to be like that. This is sort of this sort of very fundamental way forward. So you've got the collision of different technologies, which in this case would be the most basic is the text-to-speech technology, which allows me to listen while I'm walking, which is great. So I'm actually on the beginning of this. I'm actually just began podcasting on the something probably like 3/8 the way through, and I've just gone halfway through. I'm walking back, and you'll see that I'll probably or hear my breath go kaput. Now, the other great thing here is that I think I walk better actually listening. I can sort of walk for a rate, which means it's sort of like great thing. So you can see these different things going. I've got to do I've still got 4 kilograms to lose. I was 14 overweight. I must have been far out. It's hard to believe, 14 overweight, and doing weight training. I probably will not do more too expensive training. It's still great, but someone put on a 4 kilogram fat suit, and I go bang at the back there. So it's going through. So that technology is collided to make this forward, and then the technology of the essay actually driving the actual development is one aspect of it, which is pretty extraordinary. But then, obviously, I don't know. I suppose I could put a link on this, and this is the Fembots. Developed these automotive robots, which would move about the place and speak to each other and make decisions and respond to the environment. And essentially I sort of uncovered a new this is absolutely without word of a lie. So you're out there in podcast land, you can believe it or you can't. I'll give you, so if you look up Dr. Hill Teach, Google that, and Fembot, F-E-M-B-O-T, you will see this little documentary. And so you'll see the robots doing it. And so I have the keys to the kingdom in this case, in that I'll be able to essentially put that technology into this box. And really, at this stage, so this technology is that if such and such happens, it can make a decision of what to do next, basically. It can sort of develop remorse if it can actually learn. It's not artificial intelligence. But I would call it synthetic intelligence. And it's I'll be able, not only will I have the boxes thinking, but they'll be able to respond and adapt and task and do these amazing things going forward. So I'll be able to build it. And look, it's hard to say. Two years ago, I thought I was cactus. And so when you think you're cactus and you realize, I've discovered these fantastic things, and you know the universe has opened up in for an audience of one, so you can look and say, it could have been worse. I could have not known about it. I could have gone through with it. So that was good. So it's sort of a second chance, and the collision of these technologies to come forward. And so your essay writing is this way forward. Now, if I can remember, I'll go back and hopefully go through what this chap said about essay writing. But he essentially said, the way you can see essays is a way that an exercise that you're asked to do, which illustrates your understanding, your interaction, is an essay will do it. And he said, really, that's not it. In the state of mind before an essay, you have confusion and essentially this sort of brutishness. This brutishness before the written word is where the most aggressive person with incoherent thought can actually shout the loudest and get something across. And that, my friends, is the education department. But yeah, it's this real brutalness. And they say, for instance, this idea of not giving people time, not giving any space to communicate. You can you subtract certain time and the ability, time to formulate ideas, time to listen to them. You subtract that, you can create a bureaucracy. So the idea of structured writing is it's a form of I suppose it's a form of thinking, but very deep thinking, for me it's pretty amazing because it doesn't rely so heavily on your working memory, but I really do think it will help with your working memory. And of course, what I'm doing here is that I listen to it twice and say, "Oh, look, I've got to give a talk about it." But he's saying that at the highest level, it's your well-structured thought, and if you've got a well, and he went on to say, if you've got well-structured thought, you're going to be less stressed by brutes because you can think about, and you're going to be less stressed. You're not going to age as well. You're going to have a happier life, you can imagine that must be the position of an intellectual to say. There's sort of like two ways you can go. You can go, yes, it's great to be an intellectual. No, it's much better to actually kick people down and grab the wealth off them, steal things, basically. Yes, yeah, so essentially, someone who, there's nothing more annoying in, leaders are never, or very rarely, the most intellectual thing. It's someone who can kick things down. And there's sort of like this celebration. And I would have to say that Donald Trump would have to be one of the most stupid people on earth. And people who, and there must be people who support him, are all these rednecks who like to key in the door of intellectuals. And they think you win an argument by blood and people screaming. we're coming for you. I think it is interesting in that we build technology for good, but it doesn't require much for someone to be bad with it. So I'm just thinking of the Twitter and things like that, people who can come up the top. So he's saying that even with that being said, it is the noble thing of being alive to write essays. I sort of love that as a thing. Then he says about essay writing has several layers of resolution, going from the word to the sentence to the paragraph, to the structure. I think up to six, one would think, but there is more. There's the actual world of the reader and the culture of the reader, which sort of made me think, sort of doing that, saying is part of the thing of saying, you know, it is a cultural war that I'm fighting. I'm building a robot to reclaim education, and that robot has to be a bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's got to be cunning, and it's got to be have this enormous cunning to in this particular robot. You can select it to teach bullshit, and it will teach bullshit if it's teaching what the teachers currently teach. Oh, it's brilliant. But yeah, but this is sort of going up in this essay structure, this resolution. So that's the resolution, and then sort of the motivation for topics. Now, again, obviously topics don't really, really apply to me because I'm not searching around for a topic. But he says sort of you can be given a topic, list of topics, or how you can generate topics by questions which are really meaningful for you, or by doing more and more reading, researching, and reading your sources. And here he sort of begins to, and sort of on top of that, there's the preparation for essay writing. This is eating well and sleeping well and working in small areas and sitting up straight and having the right technology and having multiple screens and all that sort. So there's those aspects for it. So the things of if I have someone who doesn't write a good essay, I can usually find these things, although he hasn't actually specified it like that. It's sort of a beautiful way of putting it forward. So you've got the degrees of resolution, the stuff like that, the finding of the topic, and the topic's got to be a meaningful topic. It's got to be start from your topic, which you're going to address, and maybe you have to take your sources and take notes on them. And already, I think I'm operating on a slightly different thing. It's taken me a while to work it because I'm actually building. I've been offended. I've been offended by the stupidity of what's out there, which you have, you know, what people are going around saying is worthwhile. I've been offended by it, and I've sort of been with a broken brain. Sort of learning electronics for the start, podcasting for the start, all this from the start, broken brain, putting things together. And so the topic has, I do have a topic for me, and that's the reclaiming of science for the human race. Science has been overtaken by just the most annoying people whatsoever. So I do have this topic, but what that's transformed to is going in and looking at what I can do. Yeah, like when you're rehabbing, you don't have a luxury. Firstly, you have to try bloody hard at everything and just do what you can do. And that's no sort of, that's not no elegance to it. You've got to really, just really push yourself. So in that case, I do have a topic, which is sort of reclaim the science for the human race, and my methodology is to actually go out and skill up, because the problem has been, it's not like having a proper meal, it's been typing speed, it's been writing, it's been speaking, all this type of stuff, and creating new work, and it's been a sort of like 10% effort improvement, 10% working out what mistakes to look for and sort of what time you have to do and how much effort you have to put in, and then another 20% new processes, you know, processes which gets you there, and then there's probably another 20% benefit that you pick up from having to rework everything over and over again. And so even though you're sort of knocked back on the peloton and sort of your Tour de France and you're sort of kicked off and you have to cycle through the fields and through the creeks while everyone else can actually go through the roadways, and they have people there offering them drinks and cheering them on. It means that you can still, it's not that you've got a shortcut, you've got a long cut, a long repetitive cut coming up. So it's sort of this really interesting development. And then he's said this beautiful thing about rules, and he said about Christ going along, seeing a person in the Sabbath doing work of getting out a sheep, and Christ said, well, if you know what you're doing, it's good. If you're doing it because you're ignorant, you're breaking the rule because you're just stupid, you be cursed. Now, I don't know whether this is a true thing, but it's basically people who break sort of the essay writing rules because they don't know any better can't possibly claim they know why they're doing it. Yeah. And I think, dare I say, that's why I think a lot of people do who come up and teach absolute rubbish, and then they come up with a reason for why that's the best thing to do. It's that horrible thing. So be cursed on you. Jesus Christ curses you. So he had these various rules. And now, this is where I suppose I found it hard to listen to, because that's as he was speaking, he was saying, you write this, then you copy it out, and you write it, and you leave a space so you can rewrite the sentence underneath it. And then you copy that over here. And all the time he's saying that, I was saying, okay. So that means this. So he basically said, getting your topic structure. Now, for me, this your outline, and you've got to write your outline, and your outline has to be basically a sentence per paragraph. And so immediately you've got 1,500 words around that type of stuff. Now obviously that's not a science paper, and that's not your interactive thing about when you write a sentence. You go out and say, oh well, I can rearrange my sort of creative, I can rearrange what I'm doing such that it is the best in this. I can rebuild it because it's within my power to do it. Oh gosh, this is a tough hill, going up a hill now. And fortunately, I don't know if you can feel the wind coming in. Oh, you can't feel, you probably can hear the wind. There's this cold mass of air coming down now. I tell you, when there's snow, it's ripping dastardly cold. So you're getting two things. You're hearing my life, this person's essay life, and the natural life. So there's three things. The natural Blue Mountains are living in this stuff, and then you've got your own life. So you've got four lives to contemplate. So please enjoy. His fundamental rule is that a paragraph can be no more than 10 sentences, 100 words, definitely 300 words is too many, and one idea per paragraph. And there's a reason for it. It's that everyone expects one idea in each bloody paragraph, and your outline does it. And so it's this process where you write your paragraph. And he said production and editing are separate processes, and if you do things like write to a word limit, that restriction limits your productivity. If you edit before you produce, you neither produce nor edit very well, which I can definitely vouch for. So you produce these paragraphs, and you leave a space and come back and redo every sentence a second time, so it's better structured, more concise, and bring it across there. So when I look at it, I say, yeah, you have to do it like that. The idea that Grammarly can come in and magically hit this fucked up essay and make it good is just complete bullshit, isn't it? And it's probably worse in that it edits. It's sort of like it was one way of editing your essay really quickly, and it's just sort of like this is a nightmare. So I think Grammarly is a bit like baby formula. You know, this one app which does replaces this process. Now this process he goes through is then you get your paragraphs, and then you can restructure your paragraphs, and myself is saying that once you get your paragraph, you want it Microsoft James to come into the act. So then you, oh, here's, there comes a bloody car down here. Oh, gee, I'm unfit. Yeah, so you do this and restructure the outline a bit, and that gets you to the first draft of your essay. Then you restructure the outline, and then there's a third draft when you finally get it, and then there's how you do references and stuff like that. So my insight to this is that you basically, I had to do this with school reports. I had a basic formula. One sentence is this, one sentence is that, and cover. And so I essentially got a spreadsheet out. Well, first I did the thing of getting every report writing piece of software together, chaining them out and seeing, and they produce complete and utter garbage at the end. And then the actual structure, I broke it into three levels, produced it out, and produced these reports. Now, if you can imagine 90 students, then you multiply it by four types of sentence structures to put together and edit and produce, just an absolute nightmare. Whereas the people who convinced themselves that they were writing good stuff, I don't know, it was just hard. Now I do it slightly differently. So from that thing, I have the idea of having sentences. Now, the basic structure. So there were words that you were allowed to use and things that you were supposed to say. Basically, it's a large rule, set of rules, and you had to read it across. So you can imagine someone who's a computer programmer having these rules, and so to produce a compliant report, student report, and the feeling that no one would read it. And then after you've spent weeks slaving away on these reports, into the night your own kids get their report and you just can't be bothered reading it. It's awful. So using that idea, you have a basic each Excel spread sheet. So you have an Excel spreadsheet, and what you want to do is you want to have a series of four cells. Sorry, cells with the. This is fairly complicated because at the end of the day, you want to have a sentence in each cell, and that to be basically a database to come up, and you want to have. So you have a cell with a sentence in it. And you basically want to have Excel software looking at that sentence for the number of words in that sentence. So it automatically structures, gives you that for free. Then you want basically a interspace between every sentence, the ability to create a new cell, for that restructure that sentence. So you have the top sentence above, and restructure the sentence below. Now, I don't know. Well, that's what they want. Now, ultimately, you then want it to collect the accepted sentences. So, I suppose you try to think of why you want to keep the old. You want the old sentences together, and then you want to hit a button, spread out, intersect every second cell, and then for every second cell, do you want a sheet per paragraph? I don't know. That way you can move your paragraphs around by just moving the sheets sheets around, essentially you then want it to concatenate all those sentences into a paragraph and read that paragraph out. So essentially Now, I just wonder whether Excel has really allowed for it. It probably does. This is getting the complexity. At the moment, he's got a system where you write and you copy, and you have two screens and stuff like that. But essentially, you want to have something that if you have two versions of the sentence, and you have a Boolean, a toggle which selects which sentence you want, and then it compresses, and you have a cell which is your paragraph which to produce, and then you hit the tit and it goes. And so really that has to be constructed to produce it. Now just what the long term thing is that it does give you proofreading, and as you go through, you sort of realize that read some papers and articles, and you realize that they're the basic formulaic ones, where I don't know, a lot of the education papers say there's a new law in town, and it's a new way of cancelling what's been put out before, or there's a story of sort of like real tangential, which is an interesting way to really get into an article. So look at these capstones, as opposed to your article saying what is it about. So it's really nice to be able to have a introduction where you have different styles which you press to say what the style of introduction is to work across. So this is there. So this is again going to be so much bloody work to produce it. And look, I think a lot of this automation is coming to fruition. You know, like I can put out podcasts more quickly. I can actually get someone else's paper now and get Microsoft James to put it, you know, just speak it through, and out it will pop. That's one aspect to it. Then at the moment I've got this huge essay. Now this is great because it's an essay while building, is an essay written in the middle of building something. And so what happens is that as you write the essay, you change what you're building such it looks even better than the essay. So writing an essay, this is this, oh well, I may as well increase it. I don't know, there's this beautiful structuring of things, there's sort of the creative voice in the essay, in terms of you introduce the chip manufacturer and just the turn of phrase which makes it a bit more elegant. So there's this, I think what he says in this article which I'll put up there is about the aesthetics of it. So it's a sort of an interesting thing to get down the aesthetics of it. So there's certainly beautiful things where you can actually add to it. So I suppose that's the essay stuff. So he's this process, and then the citation, and this huge amount of work. And what sounds like it's weeks and weeks of work for 1,000 words, which is, you know, pretty amazing stuff. However, I think what's interesting is that there's not the audience for these essays. However, I think that might change because the next thing of the essay is to put it on a podcast, put an essay to a podcast, and there you go. I think we are coming across, coming up slowly, automation and robotics is slowly coming up. There's automation of the podcasts. There's beginning to be automation of getting the ideas together, automatic teaching. You know, that it is possible for a quantum physicist to turn around and to actually, you know, what is it, that song, I won't, you take me to the gates of hell, but I won't back down. There is something to say that I won't be crushed, I won't be destroyed. And that's not necessarily me doing anything in there. I think there's a certain amount of, I don't know, I think in medical science, rebuilding someone is, there's this sort of thing of saying, like, your ill health can get in there, but also people trying to knock you off, they can sort of rebuild you and sort of get you going up as a bit of a cyborg to go ahead. So it's not so that you are rebellious. The medical profession, by actually doing absolutely incredible things, like the level of incredible work is just phenomenal. It is the technology rebellion has started now, and just watch it happen. The boxes are coming. Winter is coming. We're really, this is the start, hopefully, the start of a technical revolution. Just one processor at a time. And really, this is probably the antidote to Twitter, which is, Twitter is probably the extreme of stream of consciousness shouting over the top. This is sort of like the reverse of Twitter. That is, you know, whole stream of tweets structured together, then refurnished, then re-put together and put out there, and hopefully will win the day. Definitely. Whether you lose the day, know that I'm at least out there batting for you. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.